Was it only me that played sports in senior school? Does anyone else play football or netball or basketball in senior school? Yeah. I think I've shared before, I used to be quite good at football when I was in primary school, but then I gave it up. And by the time I got to senior school, I was pretty rubbish, to be fair, at football. But again, was it only me that when we had football or PE, netball in PE, was it only me that suffered this torment where they would choose the two best players as captains and then one by one they would pick their best team? Was it everyone? I dreaded that. Because that meant there wasn't a hope of me being picked first. Let's be fair about that. That wasn't going to happen. I was sort of, you know, but I would hope that, you know, maybe by 8 or 9 or... I didn't want to be in the last two. And I certainly didn't want to be the last one, did I? I mean, anyone else? No one wanted to be the person that they had to have because they were left over. But yeah, it happened once or twice, I have to say. And that came to mind when I was reading about how Jesus picks his team today, when Jesus looks at that. You know, and again, I didn't go to church when I was a kid, so I never learnt about the disciples at church, but I did, you know, pick it up at RE in school, and they would sort of put these 12 disciples up as, you know, superhuman, you know, they were sort of a cross between Jesus himself and Superman, weren't they? No, and then, of course, every picture I saw of them around the school on the RE room, it was halos around their head. Which, to be fair, I always thought would be a bit awkward if you grew up with a halo around your head, because playing hide and seek wouldn't work, would it? You know, come on, Peter, we can see you behind the bush glowing. It's not going to work. And the problem was, in the RE lessons, of course, the teacher would say, "These are these disciples who follow Jesus. You should be like these." And I'm thinking, I can't even get picked for the football team, let alone be a disciple, you know. It just wasn't going to happen, was it? There was no hope of that happening. And then in my late 20s, I chose to follow Jesus. I became an apprentice to Jesus. And I read, actually, a bit more about the disciples. I read what they were like. And we were told lies in school. Shocking, I know, but they were nothing like I was told they were in school. Let me reread. I mean, what Mike read. Let me just read a few bits from what he read. And see if you can catch who the four disciples in our passage today are. Two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, were casting a net in the lake, for they were fishermen. Fair enough. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and John. They were both in the boat with their father, preparing the nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat. I mean, these guys are just normal blokes, aren't they? They're just a couple of brothers, a couple of sets of brothers, and they're just normal blokes who work with their hands, just, you know, doing their job of being a fisherman, just normal, everyday people. I used to think they might be a bit poor because they were fishermen, but actually, fishermen weren't doing too badly in those days. If you were a fisherman in those times, you were, you know, doing one of the better jobs. Although you worked with your hands, you were more akin to a decent plasterer. In plastering, that is a black art, isn't it, plastering? If you've ever done that, don't look at my... But they were, you know, they were good with their hands. They were a bit like a good brickie or a good mechanic. You know, when the work was there, they were earning good money. When the fish were biting, they were earning good money. But they were just blokes who worked with their hands. That's who the disciples was. That's what we can learn from Matthew today. But if we delve a bit deeper, we see that my RE teachers weren't entirely accurate in what they sold me. We get this Simon Peter, brother of Andrew, don't we? He's a man whose his mum called Simon and Jesus decided to call him Peter. He changed his name. Nothing wrong with that. Some of the best people change their name. Moving on. But what is special about Peter? What is special about him? Let me tell you about our friend, the perfect Peter. He was the disciple who just didn't have a clue what Jesus was on about all the time. He just didn't have any idea. At one point, he sees Jesus walking across the water and he thinks, I'll have a go at that. And he gets out and actually he's doing okay until he suddenly gets frightened and then he sinks beneath the waves and nearly drowns until Jesus rescues him. Another time, he mucks up so much that Jesus says, Get behind me, Satan. Not exactly the perfect disciple, is he? Another time he cuts a bloke's ear off. It's a bit of a mistake, wasn't it? And then, of course, the classic. Just before Jesus is going to go to the cross, die and rise again, Peter says, JC, I am never going to forsake you. You are awesome. I'm always your apprentice. No one could make me turn away from you. And, of course, that very day, he denies Jesus three times, doesn't he? To three different groups of people. He's a right mucked up bloke. And yet, this is the person who Jesus said, on him I will place my church. On him I will build my church. I want him on my team, is what Jesus says. He wasn't left to be one of the last two. He picked him early. I wonder if you've ever mucked up. No? Have you ever said you're going to do something only not to do it, only to fail at doing it? Have you ever looked at the Bible and gone, I have no clue what this is on about? Have you ever regretted doing something that you did? Have you ever been scared of what the future might hold? Jesus says, I want you on my team. What about his brother, Andrew? Now, you've got to understand, Andrew gave up everything Peter gave up. Andrew worked as hard as Peter worked. And yet, we don't hear a lot about Andrew. We do know, though, that he was there at the end. You see, the truth is, he gave up so much, but his big-mouthed brother was always overshadowing what he did. Everything was about Peter and nothing about Andrew. We see Andrew at the feeding of the 5,000 doing some sort of kitchen work. We see Andrew directing people to Jesus, doing some sort of admin receptionist type work. And yet we see him at the end. We see him when the church in Acts begins. Andrew is in that upper room. You see, he may be quiet, he may be shy, he may do jobs that he thinks are not that significant, but Jesus says he wanted him on his team. Anyone ever had a brother or a sibling or a sister or a relative that always seems to do better than you do, even though you work as hard as they work? Have you ever felt maybe you're just a little bit too shy to actually do anything decent for Jesus? Have you ever felt you don't count because the job you do isn't up here with a dog collar on? Or the day job you do maybe isn't as exciting as you hear others say? Jesus says he wants you on his team. And of course, you know where I'm going with this by now, but let me finish. Let me finish with the other two brothers, James and John. Now, they abandoned the old man's business and left the old man behind. I'm sure that went down really well with the family. I can imagine what my brothers would say if I left them to look after Mum. But what is so special about James and John? Jesus calls them sons of thunder. It sounds like the next Thor movie, doesn't it? You know? But actually, I'm no expert, but that sounds like there may have been some anger issues going on. They're awesome. That sounds like there might have been some, you know, not too much thinking going on and too much acting going on. And then there's their mum. Their mum, the most embarrassing mum in the entire world, goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, would you mind giving my boys a special job? Would you mind making my boys your right-hand men? I think I would be horrified if my mum went to the bishop and said, Max is a bit special, you know. And then John, and actually we see this in both of them, they refer to himself as a disciple who Jesus loved. He really wanted to be part of the inner circle, the inner clique. He wanted to be special. He wanted to be loved and liked. And despite all this anger that we hear about, despite this neediness, despite the most embarrassing, overbearing parent in the world, Jesus said, these are the type of people I want on my team. I wonder if you've ever been overwhelmed by a parent. Some of us are still trying to live up to our parents' expectations now. I mean, I suffer a bit of that, with, you know, even though my dad has now died. Sometimes I still want to live up to his expectations. Trying to find his approval. Have you ever felt you just get angry for no good reason, frustrated for no reason? Have you ever felt that's you? Have you ever wanted to be part of the inner group, but maybe the vicar didn't notice you? Have you ever wanted to be part of that little group of women or men, but they seem to not recognise who you are? Have you ever just wanted to be loved and liked? Jesus says, I want you on my team. It's a simple message, isn't it? But so often we bypass this calling of the disciples and get straight onto the teaching and the Beatitudes. But actually there is so much to learn in these few words that Mike read. You see, when Jesus calls you, he is ready for you. When you get that nudge in the head, in the heart, to investigate who Jesus is, you are ready for him. And then when Jesus points out a job that you think, oh, someone should do something about that, it's you he's calling. You are able to do that job because he has called you. It's you he wants on his team. You see, if we look at these disciples as I come into land, if we look at these disciples, they are not the finished product, are they? When he calls them, when he nudges them by the shore, they respond to the nudge. They have no clue who Jesus is, really. They've seen a bit of his teaching. They're thinking, well, maybe he is who he says he is. And then they walk towards him and they find out the truth that he is who he says he is. And they learn that he is the Messiah. And they become his apprentice. Even though they muck up, even though they cut people's ears off, they still walk to him. Even though they're not all yet that he would have them be, he still uses them. They walk to him and they become who they were made to be. And I'm not sure they ever reach fully who they were made to be, but they walk towards Jesus to do it. Because it's irrelevant of whether we think we're special or not. When Jesus calls, he is ready for you. And when you hear the nudge, you are ready for him.